Hello and welcome to another edition of Cliff's Edge, a podcast written and narrated by Clifford Goldstein. Clifford shares his insights, viewpoints, and opinions in his own unique way.
In the 1990s, when I edited Liberty Magazine, the General Conference received a letter from the Vatican. Rome wanted to enter into a formal dialogue, particularly to discuss why Seventh-day Adventist evangelists kept putting their church into the, quote, apocalyptic monsters category, close quote, because so many Protestants were now openly doing a theological two-step with Rome. Interesting in light of Adventist eschatology, the Vatican must have wondered why not only would we not get on the dance floor with them, but even warned others from doing so as well. Of course, we declined the offer, and that was that. Or so I thought. A year or two later, I found out that the General Conference, at Rome's request, had sent a theologian to the Vatican for a private, informal meeting. The theologian had told me that he and his Roman counterpart, an American Jesuit, got into some intense exchanges, which is understandable. Imagine explaining to a Jesuit in the Vatican itself the Adventist position on the Roman Catholic Church in the last days. Amid the discussions, the subject of the Sabbath arose, and the Jesuit declared, quote, "So you think that you alone are correct and all the other churches are wrong?" Close quote. The Adventist instantly replied, quote, "Yes, because you changed the law of God." Close quote. Flustered, the Jesuit backed off, went to his desk, opened the drawer, and pulled out an issue of the Adventist Review. Here, he railed, angrily waving the Adventist Review in the air. "What about this article by Clifford Goldstein?" The article, one of my columns from October 22, 1998, was called "Mr. Wittolia's Sabbath Day." Wittolia was John Paul II's name before becoming John Paul II. And this column was a look at the newly released apostolic letter by the Pope, Dies Domini, urging Roman Catholics to keep Sunday holy. The Jesuit took umbrage with the article, he said, because it referred to Sunday as the Pope's Sabbath. "It's not the Pope's Sabbath," he declared. "It was the Roman Catholic Church's Sabbath." Won't argue with that. Though not quite one of those silly torture chamber in the local Catholic Church stories, this account is a good jumping-off place to make a point. If faithful to our call to preach the three angels' messages of Revelation 14, we have to proclaim what Scripture teaches about Rome. In Daniel 2, one power arises after Greece and extends to the end of the world when it is supernaturally destroyed. That's Daniel 2:44. In the parallel prophecies of Daniel 7 and 8, again, only one power arises after Greece and extends through history until supernaturally destroyed, quote, "at the time of the end." Daniel 8:17. In all three chapters, only Rome and not Antiochus Epiphanes, who died in 164 BC, fits. In Revelation 12 through 14, imagery used in Daniel for Rome reappears, depicting it as a persecutor in the last days, along with help from the United States. See Revelation 13, 1 through 17. This sets the background for the third angel's message, a warning against worship of the beast and its image, Revelation 14, 9. And this specific beast remains solely, totally, and only Rome, which, if you're reading this in the Vatican, is why we put the Roman Catholic Church, as we must, though it's nothing personal, in the apocalyptic monsters category.
You have been listening to Cliff's Edge, a regular podcast hosted by Clifford Goldstein. We invite you to subscribe to Cliff's Edge or any of our podcast. If you have been inspired or encouraged by the content of this program or any of our programs, we have a print magazine you might be interested in. To subscribe, go to AdventistReview.org. That's AdventistReview.org.